844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning, Connor. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, Earl.
All right, I'm doing... that's good to hear, young man. How was your weekend?
It was all right. It was... Man, it was a good time for me to relax after such hard last couple of weeks, but
all right, yeah, you got enough rest.
Yeah, I did.
That's good. So did I. Hey, good morning, Sandy. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams, my co-host. How you doing, Sandy?
Well, I'm all right. You know, this weekend, just quickly, we always do a little sports in the beginning. It was sort of Cinderella weekend. Baker Mayfield came back, and then this guy Brock Purdy. I mean.
Yeah,
really?
I saw a little bit of that last night.
It did my heart some good because both of these guys are not the quarterbacks getting all the attention. I mean, Baker Mayfield got a lot of negative attention, and Brock Purdy, who the hell is he, right? I mean,
the very last draft choice.
The very last draft choice, Mr. Irrelevant.
Yeah, you know that's almost inconceivable.
I know.
That, and especially playing the most important position, you're right.
Right.
You could see if he was a defensive. I'm not saying defensive lineman is not important, but a quarterback.
Yeah, 28-0 at halftime.
Yeah,
that's a big deal.
You're watching Tom Brady, and you're saying, "Excuse me, it." You hate to have to see it end that way. It's kind of similar, Sandy, to the fighter who's hung around too long. And it always comes to mind with me when Joe Louis and Rocky Marciano, and Joe Louis having been this legend and Rocky Marciano, you know, the Rocky of his time, just a bull, and you put the old guy in there, and the old guy, the lights got turned out on him, right?
Well, I think the athletes... and looks, it's probably most obvious in football, but they sort of hit a wall. They're doing well, and the decline comes quickly. And I think maybe we're seeing that in Aaron Rodgers. I'm not sure. There are flashes of the old brilliance. But what encouraged me is that quarterback is in football has gotten to be in a position that just gets far too much attention and far too much money. And it would be great if it could develop that, like a guy like Brock Purdy apparently went to a special quarterback training camp in the couple of weeks before the draft and really changed his game and got much better. So maybe quarterbacks can become closer to a dime a dozen, which would be good for football.
So before we get so deep into
that's too deep that, already.
No, probably. No. I want to go there, but I want to say. Thanks to the Civic Media family for a wonderful, wonderful weekend. I got a chance to meet many of my colleagues from across the state who I probably never would have even got to know as we were all together for this weekend. And thanks to Crew, thanks to the Sage and the rest of the staff that brought us all together, and I want to say a special thanks to Mr. Pat Kreidlow, who comes on before me with Up North News Radio, who I really got a chance to sit down and meet and have a dialogue with. And you don't know. If you've never been to different places, Sandy, and part of all of this is people coming from different backgrounds, different places, and the things that impact us all really kind of impact us all, and we all face you know, what appears to be insurmountable odds, and we think that it's just us who are facing insurmountable odds. But, you know, it's, I got a chance to talk with some people in rural parts of the state who I never would have gotten a chance to really meet and talk to, and I relish that. And I think we should do more of interacting with one another across the state, so we can certainly realize that we're kind of all in it together.
Well, yeah. In fact, I talked about that on Friday about how it is, for instance, that the middle class, the median family that's struggling paycheck to paycheck, most of them live feeling guilty about the fact that they're in this boat. They don't understand that everybody else is in there with them, and so they're struggling and thinking they're doing something wrong because they can't seem to get ahead of the game. And I think it's good for people to reach out. That's part of what community is all about, is finding out that there's a lot of people like you sharing lots of life's lessons and burdens together.
You know, but having said that, let's get back to you know, what you were talking about with
Brock Purdy.
You know, Brock Purdy, and
what a name, yeah.
But you know, that side of it, and he's, you know, he just looks so solid that you think any of the quarterbacks, you forget that the 49ers have a guy who got injured who was a number one pick who they had already decided is our quarterback of the future.
Yeah.
That's the part of it.
Well, then they went from him to Garoppolo, and now they had another guy that was injured. Now they got Brock Purdy, and Purdy looks like he might make everybody else irrelevant.
Yeah, but the guy who
Trey Lance. Started,
yeah, the guy who started, the, you know, and they had him last year, and that guy they bet the house on, because even at the time Garoppolo was doing great things last year. I mean, they made the decision, regardless of what Garoppolo did, that this is the guy we're going to hitch our wagon to. So I will see. He looked really good.
This guy could be Drew Brees. He's about the same size.
The operative word is could be.
Could be, yeah.
You know, in the NFL, they can humble.
Of course,
you.
We had a guy named Ryan. Remember the Packers with a quarterback named Matt Ryan who had a five touchdown game when he was subbing for, I forget who, maybe Aaron Rodgers, and then he was like, oh God, this guy's fantastic, and he got traded for a healthy sum, and yeah, that was it.
The NFL can humble you, but I wanted to talk before we get into all these other things about something that. Deion Sanders, and there are people who say Deion Sanders misled
Jackson State,
the people at Jackson State, and he's a bad man, he's a bad guy, because he promised these families that he was going to do these things, and then he turned around and he did what everybody else does. He left these people in the lurch. And he followed the money.
Well, you know,
what are your thoughts?
Well, I don't quite get that. That to me is, there's almost this racist concept that if you're black, you owe your life to devotion to cause, to black causes. And why aren't we all just independently able to pursue our quest? And for him, you know, I think a quest for someone like Deion Sanders is maybe to constantly try and prove your worth in this thing that he's devoted his life to, which is football. I mean, it is true. He was making having a remarkably positive effect on Jackson State. He already had that remarkable effect. He changed their football program. I just don't know what to think of that, because I'm not sure that we, the rest of the world, can saddle someone with that kind of an obligation because of the color of their skin. I know that he promised to transform Jackson State.
He promised, did that.
And he did that. And so I'm not sure how the rest of the world can criticize him. He's at Colorado, and I can see that he's transformational. He's clearly taking on and already transforming the Colorado. They've already gotten more attention to their football program in 2 weeks than they had gotten in 15 years.
So he's getting blowback, even from Colorado, from fans and family of athletes, because he came in and said, listen, it's going to be my way. And a lot of you aren't going to be here. And there are people who are saying he's coming in and messing over these kids and these kids and their families. And he's coming in and he's, for heaven's sakes, Colorado was 1-11.
Well,
So Sandy.
Yeah.
If they're 1-11 and you've got a son that plays football for Colorado, and he's been there a couple years or so, and they're 1-11, and you bring in a transformational guy, and he says, I'm sorry, Sandy.
Yeah.
You know, it's just you're not going to fit here anymore, because how is that something that he's doing that's negative?
Well, you know, he is taking a different path than most guys who are coaches, but he's a different guy. That's why they hired him. He's Coach Prime, right?
Right.
I mean, he's not one to avoid the spotlight. It appears that, however, that he has some humility in terms of sharing the spotlight.
Right.
I was surprised when I saw the video of his first conversation with the team. He was very straight with them, right?
Yeah.
He said, a lot of you guys aren't here. Maybe you should all hit the portal, you know? He said, you know, it's going to be different. I've got a quarterback. You know, he told them right out that his son was going to be the quarterback, basically.
Sandy, they're 1-11.
He was hired. He was obviously hired by Colorado to do what he's doing, which is you take our program, you shake it up, and you bring it back to national prominence.
I think it's a different story if you're coming in talking to a team that's 9-2.
Yeah.
Right? But Sandy, national football program, 1-11. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. What say you? It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. Sandy, so I wanted to hear your perspective on this. So here we are, and the new guy comes in. And it calls everybody together. You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of when I was working at A.O. Smith. And Tower Automotive took over A.O. Smith. And this guy came in and he gathered everybody in the union hall. And he said, I'm here representing Tower Automotive. It's no longer A.O. Smith. And we have a plan on how we're going to run things. So there'll be some changes. In essence, hey, things aren't going to be they were the way they were. Anytime a new guy comes in, he buys a business, and he comes in and he says, hey, Sandy, you've done some good work for us in the past, but I've got another guy who, you know, it's my guy, and thank you for the work you've done. That's the real world, right?
Sure, Elon Musk. Elon Musk takes over Twitter. Things change. No, I mean, I've been involved in a number of corporate mergers, and the transition period in a corporate merger is a difficult time, and it's handled in different ways by different people. Some transitions they try to make it as invisible, seamless as possible, and others decide they need to shake things up and make everyone understand change, that there's going to be a change, so better to yank the adhesive tape off quickly rather than slowly. And, you know, so I think clearly what's going on in Colorado with Coach Prime is it's a rapid pull on the adhesive tape, and he's going to change things, and he wants to make sure that it's quick and that he can get things going in his direction quickly. And, you know, in an athletic program like that, with recruiting ongoing and all the commitments from recruits happening right now, it's probably very important that the transition be quick. You know, Luke Fickrell, this guy that's coming into, I think...
Badgers.
Fickle, yeah. Coming into the Badgers, got the same issue. You know, there was some of the same issues letting Jim Leonard go, who was a highly, very popular guy, very popular with his team. They've got people leaving in the transfer portal. They have people coming in. You can see now that college football is different than it was 10 years ago. This transfer portal has transformed college football. It's become much.
They don't have to sit here.
It's like free agency,
right?
Okay, every athlete's a free agent, and he can move around. If he made a mistake and he got recruited by Wisconsin and he's playing second team quarterback and not first, he can move on and see if he can play better. You know, that's how we got Joe Burrow. That, you know, there's a bunch of guys who've accessed this transfer portal and succeeded. Russell Wilson was the beginning of that process.
And college football is a big business, right? I mean, is that what it is in the end?
Well, I guess so. Luke Fickrell, what's he making? $6 million potentially with his incentives? Yeah.
Well, and you sometimes say, well, it really doesn't matter whether they win or lose. Wisconsin's going to sell out.
Well, that isn't true in the early 90s. Back, I can tell you, in the 80s, they didn't sell out. So Wisconsin went through a very soft period in its football program, and it didn't sell out.
Yeah, I remember that guy. I forgot his name. He was there for a few years. He was horrible.
Yes, when he ran the Veer?
Yes.
I can tell you more about him than I can his name, but, yeah, it didn't go well.
Right. I think he got about 2 or 3 years, but he was just – and that's when after him is when they went and got Barry Alvarez.
Well, yeah,
To run athletics because of that guy. It had gotten so bad in Wisconsin. They were akin to what's probably the worst program in football in the Big Ten, maybe Big 12 or 25, whatever it is.
Well, not Northwestern. They've gotten quite good.
Yeah, they've gotten bad. You read my mind what I was going to say, but I don't know who it is. It might have been Illinois. They've gotten a little better. But the bottom line is you can – Deion Sanders, if nothing else, his understanding of the game, nobody can argue that, the high level in which he played it, the fact that he can attract 5-star, 4-star recruits with his magnetism, with his, you know, with his history, and he's proven that he can bring top athletes, and so they want. Colorado has had enough. The Colorado Buffaloes, I remember, they used to have great teams. Been a long time, and now they want to move back up the food chain, and they think the guy that's going to do it is Sanders. So for the people who are complaining, the families saying that my son has been mistreated because he's been here for 2 years, and now this guy comes in and he mistreats my son. My son is upset because he's no longer going to be playing for college. That's real life, right?
Yeah, I mean that's the plight of most walk-ons. You know, some walk-ons have the result that Jim Leonard got, but lots of walk-ons don't make the team and they turn into Rudy, and Rudy at Notre Dame, and right. And you know, I coach and I rowed in college, and I never made the first boat at a place that had the top rowing program in the country, and it's the participation that matters. You know, there's only so many games. There's many, many practices. And quite frankly, the lessons you learn in life and sports are all learned in practice. They aren't learned in the games. And so there's an awful lot of people in collegiate sports who are there for every practice, and you don't see them in any game. And I'll tell you what, they love the sport, and they love what they're doing.
Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. It's Mondays, as Mondays with Sandy Williams. We're going to get into something after the break. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Be right back. You know. To the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Mondays. That means Mondays with Sandy Wade and Sandy. $6 billion surplus. And I want to talk about Robin Vos, who on the one hand says he's open to changing shared revenue for local governments. Assembly Speaker admits inflation squeezing government's ability to pay employees. You and I know, and others know, that for whatever reason, and you having worked at the state level, revenue, the importance of the revenue that comes into the state and how that works and how that should be spread across the state. We've got a guy, Robin Vos, who's been there for a long time, who doesn't feel as if the revenue sharing is, I guess, the right thing to do. You look all across the state. In this past election, Sandy, there were all of these different referendums on these towns and places that said, hey, we need to raise some money to even pay for our fire and our police. We want these things, but there's not enough resources. We can't, with the budgets we're dealing with now, we can't do that without the help of the state. And the state sits on $6 billion. And I watched Robin Vos the other day, and it bothered me so mightily that I reached out and hope that we'll be able to get Robin Vos on the air. And he said about Milwaukee, when they asked him the question about revenue sharing, he said, I'm not sure that the elected officials in Milwaukee will know what to do with the money. And so I'm hesitant to give any additional money to Milwaukee. And it incensed me so much that I called him right away. I've never called to see if we can get him on. But I really want to ask a man, as a property owner and a taxpayer in the city of Milwaukee, Sandy, and one who's going to live there until I die, was born there, and I'm going to live there till I die, to say that the city where I live and the people who are in charge don't know what to do with money. So they're not going to get any additional money, which impacts me, a property owner, and a taxpayer in the city, because he feels... What are your thoughts on that kind of?
Well, it sort of turns what Republicans normally talk about upside down, because they all want block grants from the federal government. They're telling the federal government, give the state block grants, because we want the decisions about how money should be spent to be made as locally as possible. That's kind of the Republican National Party line. And that put the money into the hands of people as local as possible and let them make the choices. And here's Robin Vos in a patronizing kind of a tone telling you that they don't want to give the money to Milwaukee because they're not sure Milwaukee knows what to do. Well, Milwaukee is as local as possible in terms of giving money to the largest population center in Wisconsin, and he doesn't want them to make the choices. I mean, it is true that a surplus does represent some financial problems because surpluses come when the revenues are high. And when the economy slows down, if we have a recession, they'll have deficits. And so you don't want to spend the surplus necessarily in a way that creates recurring expenses that you won't be able to meet in a time of deficit. But you would think that the Republican and Democrats together would be coming up with all kinds of investment opportunities $6 billion. Because that's what the money should be spent for, is investing, making investments that will improve the lot of Wisconsin going forward and will improve essentially the revenue stream going forward. And there's plenty of investments like that that ought to be made in Milwaukee and could be well chosen by Milwaukee.
You know, Sandy, it was not just Milwaukee. There are other parts of the state that are struggling too.
Absolutely.
And who need the exact, and so Milwaukee's, the one of the answers to Milwaukee's issue is that they've been asking for a 1 cent sales tax for the last 15 years.
Yeah.
That has been stymied by the Republican Party. It's what they've done in major cities all across the nation. They've been able to do it. Why are the Republicans, and this is what bothers me the most, because it's intentional. They want to see the city fail in the legislature.
Well,
because why would they say no to the 1 cent sales tax?
Well, it's hard to say. It is kind of a silly kind of an urban versus rural, rural versus urban outlook. And I think we're going to get over it in Wisconsin, because I think you and I and others are going to speak to both rural and urban Wisconsin and have them understand that they're in this together, and they face very similar circumstances. Small cities and large cities are facing many of the same kind of budget constraints, many of the same kind of educational issues, many of the same kind of police issues. It could be that it's the problems in rural Wisconsin aren't exactly like the problems in the city with respect to crime, but they certainly both have drug problems. We've got methamphetamine rampant in parts of Wisconsin and opioids rampant in parts of Wisconsin. We've got lots of similar issues. And I'm surprised at the stance that Robin Voss would take. I was very surprised at the stance he took when the mention was made this past end of last week about federal money that would be available to run an Amtrak facility from Milwaukee to Madison. And it was like a knee-jerk reaction, like, that's a terrible idea.
What?
And of course, old Walker came out of the woodwork to say the same thing, because he, of course, sank the $8 billion ship, or the $800 million ship in Wisconsin that was going to be a railroad run from high speed from Milwaukee through Milwaukee to Madison from Chicago, and then eventually up to Minneapolis. It was crazy that was turned down, and it's going to be crazy if we don't build this Amtrak from Milwaukee to Madison.
You know, Sandy, also at that point in time, the neighborhood that I grew up in the remnants of the old A.O. Smith area, they were going to build that high-speed train
right
there, which would have by now transformed that community. And so I remember going into the plant where I got hired back in 1972 as a snotty-nosed 18-year-old kid. And I saw a guy who was 18 years old. I saw me
mm-hmm.
there. Guys starting, and they were all in hopes that this new train was going to be built right there, which would have offered these life-saving jobs and transforming of the community. And Scott Walker and others killed it. And then that money went to people in California and other places who thought,
well, hey. they killed it because they said, we'd rather have it for roads, which is an unusual trade-off. And it didn't even get to Wisconsin for roads. It went to these other states.
Yes.
You know, and that's exactly the kind of investment that I'm talking about that could be made with a surplus. If you do something like that, even, you know, I think it was killed because there was a potential for a $7 million a year subsidy for that rail line, which of course, $7 million is the improvement of an off-ramp on Hampton Avenue. You know, it's nothing.
No.
It's nothing when you start spending that money on roads, but we don't care about it there. You know, we should not miss this opportunity in Wisconsin with this very big surplus to invest it in exactly the kind of thing you're talking about, which, of course, would have created private jobs, which would have paid taxes, which would have transformed lives, which would have had all these transformational effects, both from a geopolitical sense in terms of travel in Wisconsin, but more specifically on an economic community in Wisconsin that needs to be transformed. And so I think we need to hold feet to the fire with respect to Wisconsin and make decisions that could be transformational. We made one silly one, this Foxconn thing that was supposed to be transformational, but it was a pig in a poke, and it was blue sky. It was Foxconn blue sky.
You know, Sandy, we can talk about, and this is what gets me, we heard nothing but platitudes about public safety during these campaigns. And got to be more police, got to have more police, more police, police, police. So even in smaller towns, they struggle to pay the salaries of public workers.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And inflation and all of those things. And so these smaller towns struggle, just like the big city, to pay the salaries of the public workers and the pensions. And so the state, which should step forward and make sure that these taxpayers, for instance, in Milwaukee, the pensions for public workers are going to consume almost the entire property tax budgets of the city real soon. The mayor, current mayor, is talking just like the former mayor did about the fact that the city's going to become insolvent. Hey, Sandy, I live there. I pay property taxes there in Milwaukee. Why would I want to see my city become insolvent? But it will if something doesn't happen to help pay for the pensions, the pension obligations that we have. More people retiring, not enough revenue coming in. And so what are they going to do? They're going to have to cut the garbage pickups. They'll have to cut the snow. I mean, come on, Sandy. That can all be handled, right? Right now at the state level. If we have, and we can't have one guy like Robin Vall saying nay, and then the rest of the legislature, who happens to be on a Republican, say we agree with him.
Well, I just think that the state legislature, we have to get the state out of gridlock so they start addressing problems that exist. There are problems that exist all over rural Wisconsin. You know, the problem in places like we keep talking about Wisconsin Rapids with the closure of their paper mills, they have real problems. And Wisconsin Rapids itself, I'm sure as a municipality, has real problems now as the result of the transformation in a negative sense of the local economy.
So
there.
Structural problems.
Structural problems. And Milwaukee has structural problems. Milwaukee is, you know, 100 times larger than Wisconsin Rapids, so its problems are 100 times bigger, but proportionately, same deal. And so we ought to be dealing with these problems at the magnitude that they exist all over the state, including in Milwaukee. And we ought not to, simply because Milwaukee's problems seem so big, we are the biggest population center.
All right, got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. It's Mondays with Sandy Williams. We'll come to you on the phone lines after the break. We'll be right back.
don't want nobody else to ever love me. You are my shining star, my guiding light, my love that I see. There's not a minute.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. And my, as I live and breathe, Miss Lou Ann Bird, who was a candidate. What was it for Senate?
Wisconsin State Assembly.
State Assembly. Good morning to you, my friend. How are you?
Well, good morning. Good morning, Earl and Sandy and listeners. I'm good.
It's good to hear your voice.
I'm really good.
And you're from Hell's Corners.
Well, yes, I am.
Okay, so.
I am.
So you mean they listen to us in Hell's Corners?
We do. Well, now listen, Bird flies all over the place. I'm all over, but I live in Hell's Corners.
Okay, but yeah.
Yes, we do. Right, we sure do.
Okay, so
you have some great conversation.
Thank you. So what are your thoughts about what we're talking about with Robin Ralston?
Oh, let me tell you. First of all, I feel a sense of political power because we only lost by about 500 votes, which means there's over 12,000 people that voted for me. So I think we represent something. And one of the issues that that really didn't surprise me, but now I have a different perspective when Robin Voss says he's not going to increase shared revenue back to Milwaukee because Bob Donovan ran and won on that. And he's already not doing anything about it. It didn't take us long to learn that our current representative is going to be ineffective because he needs to be at the table talking to Robin Voss about the needs of Milwaukee and our local municipalities and the need to increase shared revenue. And when Robin Voss says, oh, they've got to show me they're doing something different before I'll fund them, I say, Robin, come and visit us. Let's show you all the different things we're doing. You know, this is a long-time problem of capping local government's ability to do what they want to do for their local people. And for local people to have local control, you need to stop what you're doing that doesn't allow the blocks, the ability to address some of these serious issues that are causing crime and low education outcomes in Milwaukee. So that's what I think of Robin Voss. It's a little scary to me that one man seems to have so much power and so much control.
Let me ask you, it's not just Milwaukee, because it's other parts across the state as well. Well, you know,
it affects every community. And in Hales Corners now, at the village board meeting last week, they're going to come out for a referendum to add 4 firefighters in Hales Corners. First of all, I mean, that is crazy. Crazy that you have to go to referendum to meet those needs. Firefighter needs, and they're closing firehouses in Milwaukee. I'm aware of all of that. I knocked on a lot of doors, talked to a lot of people. So, yeah, you're right. It's everywhere. It's the whole state.
You know,
and when they're sitting on $6 million, I'm at a loss as to why.
$6 billion.
Yeah, $6 billion. The Republican Party has long stood for a concept called home rule. Home rule being the fact that if matters are not specifically covered by state legislation, local governments are free to take them up and enact them. And there's always been this principle that has been talked about, much the way Republicans talk about fiscal austerity and fiscal conservatism, which they tend not to honor, at least at the national level, that they want to have block grants as the principle. They want to give money to localities and let the decisions be made as locally as possible, except when the money is in their hands, in which case it represents power, and they don't want to give it to localities because, of course, that's the state giving up the power to determine how to dole out that money. So, I think we should basically ask Robin to put his mouth where his money is, his money where his mouth is. You know, it's hard to figure out which way you ought to say that to him. But, you know,
we have to ask Bob Donovan to do the same thing. Talk to Robin Voss.
Well,
you know, why do we have local elected officials if it's all one man controlling it?
You know,
see where I'm going with that?
Yeah, well, Robin Voss doesn't necessarily control it. I guess he's a powerful figure that has to have people vote his way. He does have a caucus that seems to follow his lead. So, yeah, but
exactly.
Well, I think the Democratic Party has to make sure we speak to the rural parts of the state so that it's the Democratic caucus that is the majority and not the Republican sometime in the future, because otherwise we will always have to be dealing with this kind of issue.
But again, it's I don't want us to get bogged down as if it's just Milwaukee. It's all over the state.
That's my point. Yeah, that cities have this problem all over the state. The problem is, I think, that in the current environment, maybe self-created to some extent by Milwaukee, the rest of the state treats Milwaukee differently than all other cities. Other cities are local governments, and then there's Milwaukee. And the state and our state legislature doesn't deal with Milwaukee as if it's a local government. They deal with it as if it's a foreign entity.
And one thing I learned running, Sandy, in the 84th is that you've got a chunk of Milwaukee in with the suburbs here. And as a legislator, I thought that would be really interesting because I could have represented both. And because, like you said, when it comes to shared revenue, that affects everyone. However, Milwaukee, I think, is always getting left behind. And I was excited to have a stronger voice there. So what I can do and what we can do, what listeners in this area can do, is contact their legislators and make sure that we are more active in the future, bringing our voice to the process. And that's where I think the power is with your listeners and with me. I mean, I'm not going to sit around anymore like I did before I ran. I want to be in there. I want to be talking to these folks and letting them know how I feel and keeping people more informed, because we do need to change this. It's going in the wrong direction everywhere. Rural really gets left out. But Milwaukee particularly has issues.
Hey, Luann, thank you very much for the call.
Call us
anytime.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for your conversation.
All right. We've got to go to a break. Sandy, what do you want to say in closing this subject we're talking about?
Well, I think it was sort of an enlarge on what I was saying about how Milwaukee tends to have separated itself or has been separated from the rest of the cities around the state and is treated differently. They're all treated as local governments, and I think Milwaukee and for some reason is treated by the state as something different than a local government that can make sound decisions on its own behalf. And it's probably a mutual misunderstanding. I think there's work to be done in both directions. I'm glad that the mayor of Milwaukee and the county executive are both is indicating that they're intent on reaching out to the legislature and changing the image of Milwaukee in the eyes of the legislature around the state, because we need to do that. We need to have Milwaukee in the same level of discourse as all the other localities, and we need to do that ourselves.
All right, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
Woke up today, looked at your picture, just to